The following message is brought to you by Cashin First Baptist Church in Cashin, Oklahoma. For more information about our church, please visit cashinfbc.org.
I want to know this morning, are there any self-proclaimed do-it-yourself fixer type people? Anybody? Come on, guys, be brave. Yeah. I'm not going to ask if your wife will agree with that. My grandfather was one of my heroes in life, Lee Lowry. And he could fix anything, literally anything. My brother had a 67 Cadillac, no, Mercedes-Benz. And we drove it to Frederick, Oklahoma, where my grandfather lived one time. And on the way, something blew up. And we found it was the air conditioner compressor. And 1967 Mercedes is going to cost, I mean, you just know immediately it's going to cost a lot of money to get down there. So we had lunch, and Grandpa was asking, now, what happened? And he told him, he said, well, let's go look at it. And $37 later, we had an air conditioner with a Tecumseh. I mean, it just was amazing. He could fix anything. And so I was pretty sure I had inherited that gene. Evidently, it's not necessarily genetic. But when we first got married, I remember I thought, you know, one of the codes of being a fixer guy is that you don't pay somebody else to do what you could do. And so one of the first things that went wrong in our house was the shower handle broke off. Well, piece of cake. I know how to fix that. And so my temporary fix was to go get a pair of channel locks and fix them on there. Cold, hot, good to go. Yeah. About 2 weeks later, Denise mentioned, she said, hey, I was talking to my dad today. He said, if you needed some help fixing that, he'd be happy to come over and help you. I said, I know how to do it. I know how to do it. About 4 weeks later, I came home from work one day, and my father-in-law was in the bathroom fixing the handle. And that somehow seemed to follow me for quite a while. And one time we had a garbage disposal quit working. And I thought, well, man, surely I can fix that. And I talked to everybody I knew. This was, you know, back in the old ages before you could YouTube everything. And so you'd ask your friends. And so there were different tricks. People told me to fix it, and they weren't working. But the water was kind of draining through. And so, you know, it's usable until it stopped. And then the water kind of backed up. And so I decided the best thing we needed to do now was we had another sink in the bathroom. And so there's no reason for a good sink to go to waste. You know, you can do dishes in the bathroom, and there's no rules against that. But about a week later, I noticed that water started to stink, and it wasn't draining, and we couldn't add anything else, and it was just not the best situation. And then a friend of mine said, "Have you tried the reset button?" I said, "A reset button?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, look underneath there, see if there's a little button you could push." So when I got home, I crawled underneath there. I looked underneath there, and God had supplied my needs. And there was that little button, and I pushed that thing, and I got up, and I flipped the button, and it whirred, and whatever it was stuck in, it just ate it all and sucked it down, and I cleaned out that sink, and fresh water was going through, and life was good. Life can be like that sometimes. Sometimes stuff backs up on us. Sometimes we let things happen and they hang around, and before we know it, things just aren't like they ought to be. And we always talk about New Year resolutions and that kind of thing, but the first of the year really is a good time for kind of a life reevaluation. And God, I think, has created us. I think in Genesis 1:26, we'll look at it in a minute, but he tells us the story about how we were created in his own image. And we're created really in three parts. We're created spiritually, obviously. We're also created physically. We'll look at it in a minute. But then we're created intellectually, emotionally. And when we are in balance in those three areas, life is just good. Life is the way it was designed to be. But it's pretty easy to get off balance in one of those areas. And what I've noticed is that when I get off balance in one area or lose discipline in one area, it's very easy that the other two areas follow. And so today, this is just kind of a reset button, okay? I probably won't say anything that you haven't heard because I'm not smarter than anybody else in the room. But it's a reminder that these are the kind of things, this is how we live life. This is how at the beginning of a year, we kind of reevaluate, where am I? What's going really well? What needs to change? And so when we think about this, I want us to think first, if you want to turn to, let's turn to Genesis 1, 26. So we begin to think about these things. We think about the very beginning, but as God formed man and leaned down and breathed into him the breath of life. It said, then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish in the over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He created them in his image, in the likeness of being spiritual people. And so, especially as church people, this is one of the first things we always evaluate, is our spiritual life. And one of the greatest places to do that is Psalms 1. If you want to turn to Psalm 1, we'll read that chapter in a minute. But as I think about spiritually, I think about what does it take, what are most people, if you say, what would you like for this year, next year to be? Most of us want it to be a good year. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. We want life to go well. And I was thinking back, even this morning, thinking about, so how do I need to do that? Before we streamed everything, there were these things called commercials. And commercials would tell me, so I realized, if I just get the right car, I'm going to be happy. But I can't afford the right car. So I noticed another thing told me, well, if I just take the right medicine. There is a medicine for everything. Have you noticed that? You know what my favorite part about those commercials are? The things that might happen, you know. So I'm going to take this thing so I won't burp. However, these I may die, but I won't burp on the way to the hospital. That's for sure. And so there's like, if I just take these medications, life will be complete. If I take all the right thing, I'm not saying don't take your medications. By the way, you should do that. I even noticed that if I use the right soap or shampoo, I laugh when I see that one. I don't think my life's going to get better with shampoo. But deodorant, now, there's some deodorants that they say are going to make me happier than others. So I just got to make sure I do the right one. There are movies, there are shows, there are TV things. There are all these things that, man, you'll be thrilled if you go see this. There's a commercial for Code Red Mountain Dew. It says, if you will drink this, your life will be better. That, by the way, is true. That's the only one I live by. Psalm 1 gives us a picture of true happiness. It's a great passage for the first of the year, and I try to read this on January 1st of every year. It says, how blessed, and this really is the same, when you hear the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, when it says, blessed is, blessed are, it's how happy, how completely content is the person. And so think about that as you hear this, how happy, how completely content is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. This is the reality of how happy, how completely happy and content is someone who doesn't walk, constantly listen to the negative things, listen to the things that are contrary to God. Listen to people that will say, well, that you're silly, you're stupid to believe this or believe that, but who looks completely, constantly, over and over at the law and say, no, this is right, this is true. I think about all those things. The delights in the law, delights in the word of God, meditates, takes these words and thinks them through, wrestles with them. There's a lot of things in Scripture that we think, oh, I'm not sure how that works. And so the psalmist says, think about them. Work them through. Let the Holy Spirit teach you what's true and what's right. There have been things I've wondered about in Scripture, and then all of a sudden something would happen in life, and I would think, that's why that works that way. That's why that's that way. I would have never understood it, though, if I hadn't taken it in the first place. He said, if we live this way, like we're taking the Word of God in constantly, it's like that tree that is planted by streams of water. Anybody hear from the Panhandle? Oklahoma Panhandle? Whereabouts? Turpin, okay. We have a Baptist Collegiate Ministry in Oklahoma Panhandle State University in Goodwell, Oklahoma, which is right outside of Guymon. So I have an opportunity to go there every now and then. And one thing I noticed, the closer you get to there, the fewer trees you see. In fact, if you see trees, this is no kidding, if you see trees, you know where the pond is or where a creek is. Why? Because it's the only way they're going to survive. And so a tree will survive somewhere where it can constantly get the nourishment that it needs. And this is what the beautiful picture that the psalmist has done for us. It says, put your roots deep into the soil of God's word so that daily we're drawing on the truth as we're battered by other things. We're drawing from the truth of God, the truth of Scripture, so that those things will bolster us up and will hold us up. It says, whatever he does prospers. This is the life. This is the spiritual balance that we need. That the reality of, wait, what God says is true. Whether it makes sense culturally, whether it makes sense to my neighbors, whether it makes sense to what God says is really true. And so when we begin to continually take that in, the Word of God becomes that yeast in our life that begins to change us. It begins, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But to be able to consistently take that in, that's why one of the most important things we can do every day, and people talk about a quiet time or this and that, is to take God's word somehow into our life. Truth versus non-truth. The psalmist goes on to say, the wicked man is the person who, their life falls apart because they don't have the foundation. They're not building their life on the truth. And so as church members, a lot of times it's easier for us to say, well, I'm good. I go to church. I go to this. I go to that. But our reality is, are we in balance in the way that we need to be? Sometimes we can become professional Bible readers, especially if you're a teacher. If you're teaching the Word or something, or you have that responsibility. We look at, it's worse for ministers, because it's easy for us to look at it all the time as something we're going to teach or something we're going to use professionally, really. And yet, the Word of God is that relational. It's that love letter. It's that piece of information that you pull in, not because you want to know more facts, because you want to know the person. And when the Word of God becomes a relational tool for us, it changes everything. And so as we think about the reset for this year, we think, where are we spiritually? Am I doing everything right, but I'm lacking the relationship? It may be that you've come to church, maybe that you've had the church experience for a long time, but the Spirit of God just consistently wants more from you. And there may be a time where you have just never really let go and say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. And you give your heart for the very first time completely over to Jesus. That's when Scripture begins to make sense. And so spiritually, being able to balance our life spiritually. Physically, I was never a great athlete, but I was surrounded by a lot of them. And one of my heroes in life is like a 7-time world kickboxing champion. And he was actually my accountability partner for a while. And I remember, so we would meet once a week, him and another guy and I. And on the way, I would try and memorize a verse as fast as I could because I'd forgotten to do it that week. I would come up with all the reasons why I hadn't gone to work out. These kind of some of this balance was things that we would talk about. So I was always just spent my time trying to get stuff and trying to catch up and pretend like I was in balance. We would get there, and I'd have my like 8-word verse memorized, and he would quote a passage of Scripture because he had meditated on it while he was running his 30 miles that week. And I just remember driving home one day thinking, golly, I wish I could be that guy. And then it was like the Spirit just spoke to me and said, the difference between him and everybody else is, instead of talking about it or coming up with excuses or reasons why it didn't work out, he just does it. And I thought, you know what? I don't have to be him, but I could be the best me. Just being consistent and going after things consistently just doing those things. And so why physically? We looked in Genesis 1:26-27. We were created as physical beings. And God created Adam and Eve, and then he gave them a job. You give them an outdoor job to do. Take care of these animals. Anybody here got animals? Yeah. They're nuts, aren't they? I don't know that God created them any brighter than they are right now. I mean, he gave them, not only made them physical people, but he gave them a job to do, a physical job to do. Psalmist also talks about Psalm 139, 13 and 14. In fact, let's look at that. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. This is a great passage. While you're turning there, I want you to do this. Take your hand and just move your fingers. Come on. And I just try to keep you awake. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. It says, "You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You know how much has to happen in your body to be able to move your fingers? It's a miracle. It is legitimately the connection between what your brain has to do to communicate to your fingers, to the muscles, to the impulses, to the... It's amazing. And it's such a common thing to us, though. We're pretty used to it. But God created us in a phenomenally incredible creative way. And so taking care of that body, doing some things that help us to stay healthy is a godly thing. Now Paul will say it's worth a little bit of value, and that's true. When we compare that to the spiritual side, if I've got to do one or the other, I want to do the spiritual. But the truth is, we want to do them all, okay? So I looked up, the Mayo Clinic had some ideas for why we should exercise. Weight control was one of them. Anybody remember Bill Green? Bill was save at Falls Creek. Remember Bill? Well, Bill was pretty overweight at one point in his life. And he was my first boss when I went to work for the convention. And so he was talking about different things. And he said, "You know, I knew I was never disciplined enough to have a great diet." He said, "So I just started running." He said, "So I adopted the philosophy, eat what you want and run further." And that's what he would do. But it was a great philosophy, worked for him. And he was able to regain some physical health. And so weight loss is a great thing. Combats health conditions and disease. Improves mood. Many of us need a lot more exercise than we're getting. And it's a confidence builder. You know, when you are working out, you just feel better. You feel, for one thing, you've accomplished something. And that's a great thing. And so just doing that, it boosts energy, promotes better sleep. It can be fun and social. There is a 5 to 6 o'clock group that meets at the gym. And I'm in that group, you know, at least once a week. And those are, you know, I met most of those people at the gym before I met them here at church. But that's a group. It's the people that we walk in, you're like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I know about them. I know their lives. I know their stories. Because there's a common interest. And physical exercise can do that. Find somebody to work out with. It's a stress reliever. God has built us in a way that we get rid of stress through physical exercise. Okay? That's how we're built. And so being able to do this brings us back in balance physically. So I had a guy tell me this one time because I thought, you know, this isn't very spiritual. I mean, we need to do all these other things more. The physical thing can come or go. He said, "You know, I really believe that God has laid out in front of me a lot of God appointments. At times that he has appointed me to be at someone else's life at a very specific time, a specific moment." He said, "If I miss those because I just chose not to take care of myself physically," he said, "I think that would be a shame." He said, "I'd hate to think that there was one of those out here at 84. But I missed it because I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to do any exercise because I didn't want to take care of my body." He said, "I would hate to think that I missed some incredible opportunities just because of that." And in that moment, it became a spiritual thing for me. Spiritually, stay in balance. Physically, stay in balance. And intellectually. Let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Are we having fun yet? Yeah, okay. Romans 12, 1 and 2. When we talk about the mind, intellectually, we're thinking about literally just how we think. So much of our life is driven by the thoughts and the processes that go on in our head. So many positive things, so many negative things. How we move forward spiritually, how we move forward physically, all of these things almost always start in the mind. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We said this in the beginning. When we take the Word of God into our life, and then intellectually, we have an opportunity to think through that, to meditate on it. It alters the way we think. Someone who thinks positive thoughts lives a positive life. Someone who thinks negative thoughts usually lives a negative life. Someone who thinks positive things, like the glass is always half full. Now, I'll testify to you. I've said before, I'm that guy who, by nature, the glass is half empty. The second half isn't as good as the first was, and I didn't get to drink the first half. And so, but that's my mindset. When I let myself wander back into that mindset, then that's how my life, that's how my, what is reflected in my life. And Hebrews is saying, man, change your mind. You see, that's the beautiful thing. We don't have to be handcuffed by what our sin nature wants to do with our mind. We can focus on the Word of God. We can meditate on it. We can take the things into our life that change us from the inside out. It is exhausting trying to be a good Christian without it really being who we are on the inside, isn't it? We can do it. We can step out of the car in the magic parking lot and all of a sudden the world is amazing and everything's good and it's great. We can do it for an hour, but it's exhausting. Living life in balance is a process where we change from the inside. And who we are in our thought life, who we are spiritually, begins to change how we react to people and the things that we do and the way that we see the world. It's easy, really, for thoughts to creep in our mind that keep us from doing that path, though. You know, one of the worst is I'm not good enough. I think one of the great struggles in Christian life is, number one, admitting that we're all sinful, broken people. Because we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be fixed, right? And yet, not in this life. We will always struggle with sin. And so, it's easy for that to creep in and for us to look at the promises that God has for people and to say, I 100% believe that is true for other people, but not for me. Other people haven't done what I've done. Other people haven't had the thoughts that I've had. They haven't had the attitude. Those are the thoughts that we have to push aside and replace with God thoughts. With thoughts of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. To take in the truth and push out the lies. Things like, and I know no one in this room has ever thought this, but maybe a friend of yours has at one point looked at someone else and thought, I really hate them. We don't say that in church much, do we? But you know what? There are people that we just don't like. And there are grudges that we can hang on to. I'm not good at very many things, but I can hold a grudge. And I can hope for payback. And I can hope that God will give them what they deserve, but never me what I deserve. And those are the kind of negative things that keep us from transforming our mind because they always pull us back into the negative, into the sewer. There's the flip side of that is, well, frankly, I really am better than everyone else. Now, we don't say that out loud, but often we say it with our attitude, with our thoughts, as we react in our mind to what other people do or say. And then sometimes just jealousy. Sometimes that's one of the things we'll see someone else elevated or given an award or something, and in the back of our mind we're like, oh, I'm so happy for them, but I deserved it more than they did. All of these things are such common things, and it's just a sample of some of the things that can happen that take us, instead of renewing our mind, it takes us back to an old way of thinking that is exhausting. It sucks the life out of us. It brings nothing positive, nothing good into the world. It just handcuffs us and keeps us from doing what we really need to do. Renewing our mind. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll tell you what, let's do Hebrews 4:12 first. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And then just listen, if you want to, let me flip over to 2 Timothy 3:16. It's such a common verse for you. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman or the person of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. This is what we talked about a while ago. This is that spiritual yeast that when we take these things into our life, it just begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more we take the Word of God into our life and meditate on that, then it helps us our spiritual life. It changes what we want to be physically, and it changes our mind intellectually, and it begins to grow. And when we foster those things, you see, the thing you give the most attention to and feed the most is going to grow the most, isn't it? When we foster those things, the Spirit of God has freedom to begin to blossom inside of us and begin to change who we are. Then there's the one last thing. And it's just the sin that we keep in our lives sometimes. I don't know where you are in the world of reptiles, but I don't like snakes. Just don't. Not too long ago, I was building some fence, and I was walking this way, and I happened to look to my left, and there was the biggest copperhead I've ever seen in my life coming this way. And we were about to meet paths. I stopped, it stopped. And I had this little aluminum rod in my hand. And I thought, it won't do anything except make it mad. So I'm not going to do anything. And we sat there for a minute. And just the moment before I turned around to run like a five-year-old and scream back to my truck, it turned around and went back into the creek. And at that moment, I decided I would not go in the creek again until now, winter, because I did not want to see it again. I typically will try and I'll just run away. I don't play with them. I don't mess with them. I don't try to figure out, is it dangerous or not? Okay, I just get away. That's my reaction to snakes. Happened to me one time when I was on staff at a church in Tulsa, and I was really a little frustrated with God because I was actually out walking, praying, had my Bible with me. I was being godly, and all of a sudden I looked in front of me, and there was a snake. And I remember Bertha was my grandmother on my mom's side, and I remember Bertha saying, you know, snakes always travel in pairs. There's no truth to that, I don't think. But there was that moment for me. And so there was a little snake in front of me, but I was pretty sure that he was the decoy. And somewhere there was an anaconda. And it was, that thing was going to jump up, swallow me whole, and there'd be just my coffee cup, my Bible, laying in the grass, and no one would ever know what happened. And so I leapt, because I wanted to get to the parking lot, because everybody knows snakes don't go to parking lots, and they don't know how to park. And so I thought, if I could just get there, so I got there as fast as I could. I was jumping as high and as far as I could, until I finally got to the parking lot, and I was frustrated, because I was being godly, and all of a sudden there's a snake, and I was like, what are you doing? You know, we're having this great conversation. I said, you know I hate snakes. And I've had a few times in my life where a voice just basically audible said, and he said, I wish you hated sin that way. I thought, oh. Because see, I won't mess with snakes. I don't play with them. But I will sin. Now there's some, what I would call, poisonous sins. And I know, boy, you got to stay away from those. But there's a lot of other ones that I may kind of pick up and toy with a little bit. Now, I'm not going to show you that I have it or admit to it. But I may not want to let it go either. And one of the things I found out is those are the things that keep all these other things from being in balance. This morning, there may just be some things you're like, you know what, enough's enough. It's time to let go of that. This thing has sucked the life out of me for way too long. And maybe I need to get some help. Maybe I just need to get someone to confess this to somebody else that can hold me accountable. But it's time for this one to stop. It's time for me to stop letting this one control my life. And the beautiful thing is, forgiveness is there. It's just a step away. Sometimes we do need help to be able to figure out how to get past it. And there are people that can help us do that. But often the balance in our life is thrown off because of something that we just think we can't live without. And the truth is it's killing us. So how do we hit the reset? Well, forget about the past. Remember, sin is forgiven when it's confessed. And God already knows we did it, right? He already knows those things are there. Forget the things that Satan wants to keep bringing back and say, well, you can't ever go forward because of this. You know, you dead-ended right here. Well, that's Satan, not God, talking. Forget the past. Don't listen to the lies. Don't listen to other people that want to discourage you. Don't listen to the voices in your head that say you can't, you won't, you'll never. It's just not true. Listen to the voice that comes from Scripture. And then take a step forward today. I've heard so many times that, especially on physical exercise, joining gyms. Like this week is the biggest time people join gyms every year. Because it's like, and they'll come in and they'll go 100 miles an hour, or they'll start running. Okay, I'm going to run a marathon next week. Here's what I've learned that works best for me. Maybe it'll work for you. Just take a step in every area that we've talked about. Just take a step, just one step. Get a little bit better today at what you're doing, a little bit better tomorrow, and then do it again the next day. Try to never miss 2 days in a row. Just consistently move forward. And at the end of a year, the goal would be, as we move forward to some kind of goal, that next year, when we have this talk, that in all three areas, we look and we say, you know what, I'm in better balance today because of what's happening in my spiritual life. I'm walking closer to God because of what's happening in my physical life. I look and sound more like Jesus because of what's happening in my mind, in my intellectual life. And so our goal is not that by tomorrow we're super Christians, but that by this time next year, we look a little bit more like Jesus than we did today.
Following message is brought to you by Cashin First Baptist Church in Cashin, Oklahoma. For more information about our church, please visit cashinfbc.org.